This is a serious attempt by five men who are of a security interest to us, who have had their passports cancelled, in attempting to exit Australia so that they can make their way through boat, and then ultimately we're investigating the intention to possibly end up in Syria to fight.
That's Victoria's Police Deputy Commissioner Shane Patton making an announcement about the five Australian men detained by Australian Federal Police yesterday. The men had driven nearly 3,000 kilometres from Melbourne with a 30-year-old boat before being apprehended. Dr. John Coyne is the head of the Border Security Program at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Patricia.
Were you surprised by these arrests?
No, not really. I mean, first off, what we actually saw is what we expect. So that the Australian Border Force, along with its parent agency, DIBP, have been doing an excellent work, and the number of foreign fighters in the Middle East has stabilised or plateaued more recently. So border security measures are working, and those who want to fight are now going to, as ISIS has shown that they're capable of doing, then look for innovative and new ways in which to get overseas.
What do we know about the men who were actually arrested in Cairns?
Look, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff out there, but what can be said is that they're no strangers to police attention. They're no strangers to national security attention. All of them have had their passports cancelled. All of them have links back to various key figures who are known for hate preaching, for instance. And preaching more radical perspectives of Islam. So, look, they're well-known characters to intelligence and security agencies, and the reason they've travelled north and the reason they've plotted in this way is because our intelligence and national security agencies had effectively kept them and locked them into the country.
I'm interested in your analysis of Australia's anti-terrorism laws in relation to this. Does this prove, is this some evidence that the government's policy was the right way to go in terms of foreign fighters?
Look, I think it is. There's a bigger philosophical, I guess, discussion on this, which is that, you know, and some of your listeners will probably say this, you know, why not just let them go? And I just come from a conference this afternoon that I was speaking at, and, you know, that's the question that was raised as well.
Yeah, okay. So what's the answer to that? Why not let them go? What's the risk of doing that?
I think there's twofold. Number one is, and in its most simplest terms, we can talk about a legal perspective, but number one is that, fortunately, we're committed by international law to being good international citizens and preventing these people from travelling. You know, we have an obligation to make sure our citizens aren't going and taking terrorism offshore to someone else's country. Number two, and for those who are sort of less altruistic, is that, you know, the evidence is quite clear at the moment. First off, which is that about 45% of terrorist attacks are undertaken by people who have been foreign fighters, and those are successful ones. The terrorist attacks involving people who have been foreign fighters generally are more violent and more successful from the terrorist point of view. And generally, as a, you know, the figures sort of differ, but if you look about 1 in 9, 1 in 20 of foreign fighters who return will eventually be involved in an act of terrorism in their home country. If you start doing your sum, so we've got 110 people currently offshore. If all of those came back tomorrow, somewhere between 9 and 20 of those are likely to be involved in a future terrorist event.
On RN Drive, my guest is Dr. John Coyne. He's the head of the Border Security Program at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. Why would they choose to go overseas to fight jihad instead of attempting to perpetrate acts of terrorism here in Australia, domestic acts of terrorism?
Look, I think there's a whole range and a raft of reasons, and, you know, they'll come down personally to each of the individuals involved, Patricia. But, you know, I think there's some common things we could draw from this, which is that There is a big draw card for these sorts of people to go and live in the Islamic State and to fight for the Islamic State. So it's a lot of it is about that. You know, if you can't get to the Islamic State, then do something where you are. But, you know, the call to arms is to come to the Islamic State and fight in the Islamic State. So I think that's a big draw card. I think secondly, you know, senior police in Australia quite often say even the best crooks in Australia don't get access to good weapons. It's incredibly difficult to obtain explosive devices here in Australia, or the components thereof. Our intelligence agencies and policing agencies and their surveillance techniques, their intelligence collection are top-notch. And finally, we have a very aware community and all components of community who are well aware of the dangers of radicalisation. So all of that together combines to create a pretty powerful preventative mechanisms for those people who want to do terrorist acts here in Australia. And what we've seen is the number of attacks or potential attacks that have been stopped by our agencies are evidence of that.
What are the stats on foreign fighters being apprehended trying to leave Australia?
Look, I mean, there's a ton of different statistics that are floating around. What we're looking at, though, that there's 110 roughly overseas. We're also looking at there's been stopped at the border. In the first 7 months of this financial year is slightly under the previous whole of the previous 12 months, which is around that sort of 320 people mark that were stopped at the border, suspected of travelling overseas. There's about 120 passport cancellations about where people have been denied passport, their passports have been taken off them. And then there's been about somewhere between, I believe the latest figures are around 20 to 30 passports where people have asked, who have applied for passports and been not granted. So we are just starting to talk about some big numbers there.
Are we likely to see more of these attempts, I suppose, by radicalised Australians leaving Australia in different kinds of ways? Because they were trying to find, very unsuccessfully, but trying to find a way to escape by going to Cairns with this boat. Will there be more attempts like that, do you think?
Look, I suspect so. I think, I quite often talk about it in the sense that people think of border security in this old world sort of context of it being this static defence, you know, almost like the old walls. And you'll hear, you know, people like Donald Trump talking about walls. The truth of the matter is that the threats and risks that we are dealing with are very agile. So, ISIS is a learning organisation. Like, sure, there's some people out there who are who will try the same things that have failed in the past over and over again. But as an organisation and a number of these threats, whether they're ISIS or organised crime, they move quickly, they learn and they find new ways of doing things. And our border security agencies have to be agile and have to adapt their mechanisms to how the threat changes. And we're just seeing one of those times now. We're very effective with our border security stopping foreign fighters leaving our country. They're going to look and try to find new ways to leave the country.
Many thanks for joining me tonight. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you, Patricia.
And that's Dr. John Coyne. He's the head of the Border Security Program at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. And he's been speaking on foreign fighters and border security at the Safeguarding Australia Summit in Canberra today. Next on RN Drive, I'm going to take you into the drawing room. And tonight, we're going to find out about attempts, really interesting creative attempts to make the AFL more diverse and multicultural. That's next on RN Drive.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.